morning, Ebenezer family and friends. We made it. I'm telling you, if you're sitting with somebody right now or you're texting, just put, "We made it" in that chat section. We made it. Thinking about all that we've gone through, God has been so faithful. I just want to stop here and just thank you. Thank you for tuning in to ebcnc.com and our YouTube page at ebcnc video. The Lord has just done so many things to those who are not even part of Ebenezer, but view regularly. I want to thank you. We've got so many people that have been connected with us that are out of the state. I want to thank you also. We have so much that's going on at ebcnc.com. We've got our Bible studies and special events on Monday, our Tuesday noonday Bible study, our Wednesday Bible study. Of course, we've got our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services, and we have our 10 o'clock online. So God has just done so many things in the body of Christ here in our local fellowship, and I am just grateful to Him. Also, thank you for your giving, reaching out, encouraging. I have been just really celebrating people and how they're sending texts and embracing people, inviting people over to look at Bible studies together. We are truly growing into the Lord more and more, leaning into Him more and more. And so I'm just blessed when I think about what the Lord is doing. Thank you for your giving via our app or sending it into our secure mailbox, or maybe you're in our in-person services where you give there. Thank you. Thank you. And we just celebrate just what the Lord is doing. Any hallelujahs, just celebrate how He's been a wonderful provider. Well, I am just exhilarated when I think about the scriptures that we're going to get into today as we are back into the series of distractions and fears and what God has revealed within these 66 books. But before we get there, we just want to prepare our hearts as we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for us. See you soon.
We're going to the book of James, the third chapter, and the 13th verse, talking about heavenly wisdom versus demonic wisdom. Beginning at 13th verse, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." May the word add a blessing to the hearers of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord. Your desires revealed
Saved, delivered, and set free. As we get back in the series of distraction and fears, I pray that you've been blessed, encouraged in your walk. I have been just blessed to see so many taking that memorization scripture of 2 Timothy and that 1:7 saying, and putting it deep down in their inside of them, not just in their memory banks, but in their heart. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I've just been hearing people over and over quote that scripture. So it's just been a blessing to see our growth as we've been learning how to beat the enemy as he comes with us or come at us with distractions and fears. Well, before we go any further, I just want to go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made, Lord. Thank you for your saints allowing us to be able to connect via this virtual platform. I pray for those who are listening and viewing in, those who may not be saved, Lord, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, you are a teacher, so would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're moving to another Old Testament book, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And I want you to focus in with me on that 18th verse. It reads, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." I want to speak from title day, Learning to Trust in the Lord. Learning to trust in the Lord. This is a journey as we are in these last days, these days of stresses and distractions and fears. But God is using this for a ground of growing our faith. And I pray that as we go through these scriptures, you'll be able to apply many points to your life to learn to trust more in the Lord. On last time, we were in Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we talked about stay close to the shepherd, stay close to the shepherd. He is that good shepherd. Today, our time frame is about 605 BC to 536 BC. We find ourselves in the Babylonian area. Lord has allowed his children, the children of Israel, to go into captivity because of their severe disobedience. Because of that, King Nebuchadnezzar, he is in charge. He is a ruthless leader. He's actually taking the best of the Hebrews and he's incorporated them into his society. He's trained them up 3 years of rigorous training, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and learning the language and just the culture of the society. But even in the enemy's camp, God allows Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to thrive, and they are still worshiping their God. But as God blesses us and it seems like everything's going well, all of us know the enemy can slide in so quickly. And so today we pick up Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Second verse, and the king Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Daniel 3 and 3. So the satraps and the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." Wow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, everything is going well for them. And then all of a sudden, the enemy uses Nebuchadnezzar and he comes up with this image. And the edict is put out, hey, everybody's got to bow down to this image or you're thrown into the fiery furnace. Learning to trust in the Lord. Our first point, distractions and consequences. Distractions and consequences. The enemy always wants the people of God to be under pressure, and he wants us to get us to the point that we bow down to his ways, we bow down to his thoughts, we bow down to his inventions. And we have to make sure that we stay with God's word, that we understand God's word, that we're able to hear the voice of the Lord on our daily walks, so that we do not find ourselves bowing down to something that is not of God. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this 90-foot image, and it's so tall and magnanimous that it can be seen for miles. And he says, I'm going to have a band. And when they play, you're going to be able to hear the music. When you hear the music, you've got to bow down to my image. Remember the distractions the devil brought to Jesus. We've talked about this, and this is important. The enemy wants us to submit to him. Matthew 4:8, it says, again, the devil took him up, that's Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Distractions. The enemy is always desired, and he desires now to be on top, to be in control of the Christians. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like the fact that we haven't bowed to him, but we bow to a true and living and powerful God. But we must always keep our priorities straight. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him you shall serve. That is our mantra. We worship Jehovah Jireh. We worship the true and living God that created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, learning to trust in the Lord. But notice also, there's some consequences that's presented here. Daniel 3:6, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Saints, I believe that we're in this season, this time of pressure that's coming upon us, coming upon the church of God, and we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow the enemy? 2 Timothy 4:3 really brings us some insights, enlightens us. It says, for the time will come when they will not, look at this, endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, learning to trust in the Lord. Do you sense that? Do you see that within our nation, within our world? So many people are going astray, caught up in all kinds of strange doctrine. People have itching ears, desiring to hear what they want to hear, to satisfy their fleshly desires and ways. But we need to realize that we have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. We've got to learn to trust the Lord even in these adverse times. Daniel 3:7. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. That 8th verse, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your guards or worship the gold image which you have set up. Here's another point. I love this one. Dare to be different. Yes, dare to be different. Here we are really introduced to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, getting understanding, at least within this chapter, of their mindset and thought. And we also see that there are those that are in the kingdom that are actually jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they have been elevated so quickly. They've learned the language. They've learned the social structure of the place, and Nebuchadnezzar actually depends on them. Some had been there for longer than these young men, and they had been elevated, so they're like, hey, you're not following what the king is set up, and they became tattletales. And because of this, the enemy is allowed to put pressure on the people of God. These Hebrew boys had to make a decision. God's word had already been stated, and we find out from their background that they had memorized texts even before they came to the Babylonian area. Exodus 20:4, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So this is a red flag. They're like, we can't do this. You made an image. Look at Exodus 25. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. This was in their mind, but not just in their mind. It got down into their heart because they loved the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, even in the enemy's land. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments, learning to trust the Lord. Their stance is revealed here, and I love this. We can learn so much from this Daniel 3:12, that mid part. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Will you dare to be different. They had just decided. They decided we are not going to bow down. We're not going to worship this God. Even though we have been elevated by Nebuchadnezzar, we understand it wasn't really Nebuchadnezzar who did it. It was God's hand. And there ought to be some shouts of praise to realize if God has put you where he's put you at, he's able to keep you where you are. Please, please realize that you don't have to compromise your morals, your standards, but all you have to do is just trust the Lord. Will we as saints stand up for God's mandate in these dark times? Yes, yes, please understand. We are to obey the laws of the land of Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to God, to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the saint. But please understand, there will be some times that God's laws actually collide with men's laws. Yes, yes, there are going to be some time that men are going to come up with some crazy stuff that is contrary to the word of God. What do we do at that point? What mandate in the scriptures do we have? Acts 5:29. Remember, Peter and the apostles, they had to make a decision when they the people that were in control were telling them, hey, you cannot preach the gospel. You cannot share Jesus. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Yes, yes. Sadly, I believe as saints, we will be challenged more and more as the coming of Christ gets closer and closer. Jesus even spoke of the conflict that will arise as we're fighting for the truth, that we're standing on the truth. Matthew 10:35, he says, for I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. There ought to be some shouts. There's going to be some stresses, and we're going to have to make some decisions. And because of us choosing the truth, there are going to be some people that are going to go against us, even in our own households. But we're learning to trust the Lord. Matthew 10:37, he who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, Christ says. Look at this 38 verse. And he who does not take his cross, just type cross in the chat, somebody say cross, and follow after me is not worthy of me. Learning to trust the Lord. Matthew 10:39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We must learn dependency on God in all situations. Look at Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, enraged and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? The question is put out, but it's really rhetorical. He really doesn't want them to answer. Notice this in the 15th verse. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Here's another point. The challenge. Yes, the challenge. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he is the most powerful man within that area at that time. He is in control. As said before, he is ruthless. He's a leader. Anybody challenging his authority would actually be immediately put to death. But we see how important Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were to him, because he gives them a kind of a mandate, a second chance to actually obey and bow down to his image that he set up. These young men had a good reputation. They were in high positions. They were doing good. but they had enemies, as I talked about before, that were jealous of this position, jealous of the things that they could do, all because of God's hands. And I just want to stop here. In your life, you need to realize you're going to have some haters. Yes, you're going to have some people that don't like you. You're going to have some people that are discouraged because you keep on being blessed, and they want to take you down. But you just need to realize that it's all about God. It's all about His mercies and kindness in your life. You need to talk to your enemy. You can come on the Lord's side, and you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you can be saved, and you can know about the overflow. We talked about that on last Sunday, the overflow of blessings that God is putting in our lives because we have a good shepherd in our lives learning to trust the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, he at this point, he needs to be in control. His ego has been stroked over and over again, and for somebody to go against that, these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he is upset. He is angry. He is furious. He challenges them. Look at Daniel 3:15, that second part. And you fall down, he says, and worship the image which I have made. Good. Everything will be fine. I'll forget that you did this. You made this mistake. Just fall down and just worship what I've set up. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Learning to trust the Lord. What will be your decision? Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're challenged at this point. They have to make a decision. And I look at that last part of that verse. It says, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Please, please, please understand God is in charge. And even though in that society, Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up amongst his people, the Chaldeans, as God, he was not God. His authority was just with men, but God was totally in control. And we can never forget that in our lives. No matter what comes against us, God is always in control. Never forget 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Can I say that again? That 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You need to say, shout sometime, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that God is all powerful and he dwells in us. Look at Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Daniel 3:17, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Wow. Here's another point. Stance of faith. Yes, a stance of faith. Now, these are fighting words to Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they literally said, no, we're not going to do it. And we've got a God. I know, King, you think it's your God, but our God is bigger than your God. Our God is able to deliver us from your hand. You're threatening us, and you've put consequences out. You've built this image, and you expect us. We thank you for your elevated status. We thank you for teaching us. But please, when it all comes to it, it was God that was working in us. That there ought to be some shouts when you look back over your life. Hadn't God opened some doors that men had shut and locked up? God said, it's open for you. Hadn't God allowed you to walk down some pathways that men had shut down and said that you would never amount to anything? But look at you now. It's all because the powerful hand of God. Their decision here, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, had already been made to stand with God's word. Yet they had already decided. This wasn't a spur of a moment decision. They had already worked these things out as they were in this Babylonian captivity and decided that we're going to put God first. Let me show you Daniel 3:16, that last part. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. See, when you got a relationship with a powerful God, it's already deep down on the inside of you. When you know that you know that you know, and you've been reading his word, and you've been praying, and you've been praising him, you've been worshiping him, no matter when the enemy attacks you and he comes at you like a flood, you already know that the Spirit of God has raised up a standard in your life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already solidified the thought that God is going to be everything, and God's going to take us through. God is going to hold us. God is going to order our steps. God is the one that lifts up people and pulls them down. You can speak to the powers that be in authority when you got God on your side. You can speak and know that, you know what? God is in control of this. Your mind has already been made up. Saints, they were true example of the word of God in Ephesians 6:10. I love this section of scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, we're in that season and time that the enemy is coming at us, but we've got to put on the whole armor of God and already make a decision with our mind. For God we live and for God we die. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, our fight is not with physical men that we can see. There are spiritual stuff that's going on. There is demonic spirits, principalities that are coming against us. And the only way we can win is to stand in the powerful hand, the arms of the Lord, as he keeps us and he holds us. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, learning to trust the Lord. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, learning to trust the Lord. Yes, the enemy is going to shoot darts at us, but aren't you glad that we win? I put in the chat, we win. As you're sitting in your living rooms and you're listening today, we win, we win. You need to shout it out. We win, because we've got Jesus on our side. Donnie McClurkin, he sang this song. It was powerful. He says, what do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like it's never enough? And what do you say when your friends turn away and you're all alone, alone? Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all and it seems like you can't make it through? There's some shouts, some people identifying. Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand, learning to trust the Lord. Let's get this final verse. It's going to be a two-part message. You're going to have to come back on next Sunday to get the conclusion of this exciting message. Daniel 3:18, it says, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Here's our final point. It's in God's hands. Yes, it's in God's hands. I love this because they make a statement of faith here. They make a profound, because so many times we don't want to look at both sides of it. You know, God is a deliverer. I'm a witness. He's delivered me out of so many things. But at the same time, he's also allowed me to go through some stuff. We talked about that in Psalms 23. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. That means that we are going to be there, but we don't have to stay there. We just don't know how long God is going to allow us to be there. But as long as the shepherd is with us, we're learning to trust the Lord. Notice, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods. If I love this statement, if he doesn't deliver us from the fiery furnace, if he doesn't, I still know that we're not going to worship, because God is still God. If he allows us to die, we're going to die, and we're going to celebrate him, because we know when we die, we get to be with him. Paul the apostle, he brings out, he said, to be absent from the body means to be present with God. If you got to go out in faith, trusting the Lord, because it doesn't matter. We win no matter what. Yes, they realized that God could deliver them out of any situation, but they had the faith to trust him, that if he didn't deliver, at least in man's eyesight, they would still be with the Lord. This is
is a stance of faith. Think about this, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:2. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. We've been teaching on the book of Hebrews in one of our Bible studies, and this whole process of having a high priest and learning those who trusted the high priest, Jesus the Christ, they had a good testimony. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Learning to trust in the Lord. Yes, these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they exhibited wonderful faith, man, encouraging faith. But I want you to know there's a better one than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know his name. His name is Jesus. This is the one that represented the Trinitarian God. He's a part of that Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus comes from heaven to earth, walks among men. He heals the sick and he raises the dead. But I'm so glad he identifies and he knows what it is to walk into the Father's way and to be in the Father's will. He spoke to Philip, John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" John 14:10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Yes, learning to trust the Lord. Jesus is so intertwined with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He says, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." John 14:11. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Yes, that trust took Jesus to being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. That trust took him in that garden, and he was beaten and he was betrayed. Trade and blood flowed down, but he goes down the Via Dolorosa. I am so glad that even before he got to this point, he had made a decision like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that Luke 22:42, it says, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Yes, he is on the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, all for us, carrying our griefs and our pains. He is showing us the example of being able to trust in the Father. I am so glad that he's able to say on the cross, he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He dies on the cross of Calvary. But the good news is, we always bring it to this point, he got up on the third day with all power after being in that cold grave for 3 days. I am so glad he gets up with all authority. And now we can depend on the true and living God, and we can learn to trust in him every day. Saints, I believe you need to look back over your life and see where God has brought you from, and you just need to give him some praise right now. If you're sitting in your living room or wherever you are, or you're listening, I just dare you to lift up your hand and say thank you. If you're driving, you just lift up one hand and say thank you, Lord, because I'm learning to trust in you even in the midst of distractions and fears. God is faithful. God can take our toughest times and elevate us in the spirit, that we can trust him and our faith is increased, and we can rest not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he directs our paths. Man, next Sunday we're going to get back into Daniel. We're going to conclude. We're going to the fiery furnace. We are going there, and we're going to see God show up in an amazing way. But please understand, whether they went or they didn't, it didn't matter. What mattered was God had them. And in your life, whether God delivers you out of your trouble or he allows you to stay in your trouble, he is still faithful. You got to let the enemy know he is not going to take you out. God is in control. Remember Donnie McClurg, he said, just stand. When you've done all you can do, just stand. Stand in God's word. Man, some of you are in some situations right now. You don't know how they're going to turn out. You've got some stresses against your life. I encourage you to take an act of faith and begin to praise and worship God in spite of your situation, and just thank God. You can put that if statement. If not, I'm still going to worship him. If you don't know Jesus today, Man, would you make him your Savior today? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be safe. You can be in the family that has overcomers. God has made us overcomers. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the souls that will be saved today and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Help them to plug into your body, to be on mission for you. For the saints, Lord, that are going through, distractions and fears are bombarding them. They're falling like rain from the sky. God, help them to hold on to you and to stand. Lord, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gave us a wonderful example, but we thank you for Jesus as part of who you are, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, everything you saw me do, the Father was doing. You were intertwined together, and thank you for that example, Lord. Help us to learn to trust you more. Lord, as we go in our days and our weeks, help us to always realize that greater is you that's in us than he that's in the world. We just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Oh, he's been so good to me. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, I have already come. The Lord's been good to me. Oh, it was grace that brought me safe this far. Grace is gonna lead me on to God. I know he's been so good to me. Down through the years, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, he's been so good to me. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, I have already come. The Lord's been good to me. Oh, it was grace that brought me safe this far. And grace is gonna lead me on to God. I know he's been so good to me. Down through the years, I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down through the years, I know